Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Hey, glad you're here. If you're a guest here, we're at part three of a series called Love Me Tender. We're talking about love. It's one of those things that we can't really truly define, it seems like, but it has the power to define us. So we're having a conversation about that. And so glad you're here. We got people in the house. We got the online audience. Can we just make some noise for them? What's up, guys? Hello, hello, hello. Glad you're in the room. You know, this series has been hard. It really has been. And I've been acting really strange. In fact, I've been listening to a lot of Bollywood music to prepare for this messages. And then George Michael. I don't know why. I have no idea why. And Ashley was like, what are you doing? Why are you watching? Why are you listening to George Michael? And I'm like, I don't know, man. But could you wake me up before you go? You know, like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's going on. I think it's because it's such a hard conversation, especially because in light of who we are as a church. Like, we are a diverse community, and so there's a lot of conversations about relationships, and every relationship looks so different. So it's been hard to kind of, it's been hard for me because I don't want to do a blanket, like, this is the talk, this is how men act, and this is how women act, and this is how it is. It's not really true, especially when you throw in culture in there, and it's all kinds of hardships, in a sense. It just gets complicated. I mean, even me, I grew up Pakistani, you know, grew up in Kuwait. Ashley grew up Southern and Baptist, and I grew up Muslim, and you put all of that in a blender, and I don't even know if anybody wants to drink that. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of all kinds, and we have to figure out our own culture. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to have a conversation about relationships. So last week, we talked about mostly about people who are maybe possibly wanting to date, and this morning, it's about people who are already in relationships. So if you're married, if you know someone who's married, send them this message. But this conversation is about people who are in relationships, lasting relationships, or want their relationships to last. Which some of you are like, I'm not quite sure I'm there, you know, today. But hey, I'm just glad you're here. And I'm hoping that we all get something out of it. So even if you're not in like the marriage context, I think you're going to get a lot out of this. So let's just start right here. First of all, let me find out my audience here. How many of you you're good at taking tests? Anybody good at taking tests? 1, 2, 3. Okay, 4. All right. 5. Okay. Who of you are not? Are the rest of you just not? Thank you. My people are in the house. I'm terrible at taking tests. Now, I grew up in, obviously, like I said, in the Middle East. And so test taking and the way they took tests were very different. You know, we were obviously used to this idea of true and false. Everybody believed true and false, right? We kind of understand that. Essays, questions about essays, I got that. But when I got introduced to multiple choice here in the States, we don't have multiple choice back home. In testing, there is no multiple choice. And so let me just tell you something. Those of you, I don't know who, if you're listening, if you invented multiple choice, you're from Satan. Because here's the deal. For a bilingual, it is the hardest thing. Because you're like, oh, well, this is saying the same things. They're all saying the same things, right? I don't know. Because you're trying to figure out what is it actually train. Anyways, I just scored poorly on that. And you're thinking, okay, what does this have to do with this morning? I'm not quite sure. Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you about this other idea of taking tests, this idea of filling in the blanks, right? Fill in the blank. Because I think, like, for some of us, as you evaluate the relationship you're in, and there is a space between what you thought this relationship would look like and what it is right now. And there's a space over there. And this morning, what I want to do is I want you to fill in the blank. And this blank is your choice. It's my choice. But it is, I believe, it's the key to All lasting relationships, not just married relationships, but all lasting relationships. So this morning is kind of a test. You get to fill in the blank. The good thing is it's all kind of a fill in the blank and a multiple choice. You actually get to choose. There are two answers I'm going to give you, but you're going to have to choose which ones you're going to fill in the blank. Now, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, to kind of set the stage, I want you to go to a passage of Scripture. So if you got your Bibles, you got your phones, your iPads, grab those. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Can you say 13? 13. Now, it is a very popular passage. Okay, last week I took you to a popular passage, the whole idea of like, you know, promising I'll go wherever you go. Remember that? Right? The stuff that we say to our mothers-in-laws, right? No, that's not true. We don't do that. But we use that passage a lot. This is another one. This is one of those passages that you have either heard this, you've used this in your wedding, you've done this, you know this passage. It's the love passage. It's in all Hallmark cards. It's the one that people use a whole lot. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so we'll put it on the screens for you. Let me read this out. It starts off, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but what? What? Help me out. What? Rejoices in with the truth. Okay, so when I read this, you're thinking, yeah, I like this. I've heard this before. And I'll tell you what, I think deep down, you're like, I actually agree. I don't disagree to any of these things. Love needs to be patient, right? Yeah, yeah. It needs to be kind. Yeah, of course. Does not envy. Yeah, it's not good. That's not good to envy. Yeah. Does not boast. Yeah. No one likes a proud person, cocky. It sounds cool when you're dating, but then you get to know them, you're like, I don't like you. You know what I'm saying? So it's you get that. Does not dishonor others. Yeah, you don't want to diss people. Yeah, no. You don't do that. You agree to all of it. But then, this guy who wrote this, Paul the Apostle, he ends this thought with this one line. Okay, and let me read this out to you, okay? Okay, actually, you know what? Let's do it together. Okay, let's do it together. Let's put it on the screens. It starts off like this. It says, 1, 2, 3, it's on there, right there. Okay, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Okay, stop right here. That is extreme language right here. He's being dramatic here. Always. Like extreme language is like the whole never, you never, always, you always. That's not fair. You can't do that. It's not fair, right? It's like always. No. First of all, okay, no one does anything always. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? No one, okay? But here he's saying it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What is he saying? Now, let me give you context. Though you have heard this in wedding context, this passage of scripture, it is not talking about marriage. He's not talking about marriage. In fact, some of you guys who know the scriptures and know the Bible, you're like, you know what? That's why I don't even believe this. You know why? Because this dude didn't have a clue. He was single. He was single. He had no idea what he is talking about. Okay? He's no idea what he's talking about. He is not married to her. Not gonna point. Not married to him. Not married. He does not know my relationship. He has no idea. No idea. See, Paul, who wrote this, he's talking about not just marriages, he's talking about the key, the space between that exists in all great relationships. There's always a lasting relationship has moments where there's a space that is created, and in that space, you get to choose what you're going to do. He ends with this idea of always protects, what's the word? Always trusts, always hope, always perseveres. Here's the translation. What he's saying is this, is that in all relationships, there is an expectation. There's all kinds of expectations, right? So when you were first married, you had expectations, right? You had expectations of what this relationship would look like, what he or she would look like, what she would do, what she would look like, what would happen. You have all kinds, we have all kinds of expectations. It doesn't matter if it's a marriage situation, it could be a client situation, roommate situation. Have you ever had a roommate you expected them to be sane? You did. I wanted a human. I got this creature. What is the deal? What's going on here? We all have expectations when it comes to relationships. And then we have expectations. And what happens, right? Then we have what? Behavior. We have behavior. What really happens? I know you promised you'll never. I know you promised. You gave me all those amazing vows, which, by the way, you haven't done any of. The first 2 years were awesome, and I don't know what happened to the next 12. Like, what happened here? There was a huge gap between expectations and behavior. You said, but you didn't. You said you were never going to be late. You said you were going to be ready in time. You didn't. You know this, right? There's an expectation, and then there is a gap, and then the actual behavior. You get a bill. You get an email, and you find out that the bill that he promised that he would pay has not been paid. And you're like, you promised. You told me. I expected you to do this. I expected you to behave like this. I expected you to be concerned. I expected you to give a darn. I expected you, right? But you what? You didn't. You didn't do it. I don't see it. What you told me, what you actually did. And in lasting relationships, this exists. In my relationship with Ashley, this space exists. And in this space, what Paul is saying is you have a fill in the blank. And you have a multiple choice. You can either do two things. You can either what? Believe the worst. Always believe the worst. Or you can believe the best. Paul is saying in any relationships, when you have moments between a gap between relationship expectations and behavior, you have a choice. Love does this. It always does what? Always does what? I know some of you guys are like, I don't even want to say it. I don't want to say it. No. You take your dumb signs and go away. Talk about something else. You have no idea my relationship. You don't know what it feels to live with this dude. I don't want to know. I actually don't. I'm not saying that I know your relationship. I'm not saying the amount of disappointment that exists between this in this gap, and the amount of time, and the amount of promises, and the amount of I promise, I will, give me a shot, I will go to therapy, we do this, we promise all of the stuff. There's a gap. And for some of us, it's small things. For others, it's big things. When you fill in the gap, when your expectations of my expectations and we agreed upon expectations don't match the behavior, there is serious disappointment, there is serious letdown, there is serious insecurity, and there is this, like, I don't think you care about me. I don't think you care. You used to. But you don't, obviously. And you have, and we have, a choice. We can either, what? Believe the best, or believe the what? The worst. The worst. And here's how it works, right? Here's what happens. So usually in our psyche, what happens is that there's something that takes place. You were supposed to be here because we have to go to this dinner party, and you have just got here, and now you have to get ready, and there's no way we're going to get there on time. You told me we were going to not be those people. You are not going to be those people who show up on time. I mean, who show up on time, right? I'm those people who don't show up on time. Okay. We were not going to be this. You told me. And then you get a call that says, hey, I'm going to be a little bit late. Hey, this didn't happen. You get a call. You get the call. You get a text that says, and you go, and then boom, it starts, right? It says something came up. I forgot something. And you start doing what? You create a story. There's a storyline. You figure out the reason why he or she did not do or did not come or whatever, and you start doing that. Then you develop an attitude. Then you choose to believe either the worst or the best. and then you act accordingly. That's what happens. That's what we do. You don't even know why he or she is late this time for the 12th time. But it could be a good reason. And the person on the phone and the person on the text doesn't even want to send that, "I'm going to be late again." They're dreading that too. But you have made up a story. And you have, depending on how you put it in the blank, you have either believed the worst or you believe the best. Believing the worst, your story is always, "She is always like this. I knew it. She's acting like her mother." Don't say that out loud. You've said all this. Okay, and then what happens is you begin to live accordingly. You create a story. You have an attitude towards this person. "Oh, yeah, sure you will, hon. Sure you'll do this. Oh, sure you will. And then you get into conversations with other people that go, "Oh, yeah, I know. And there's a lot of eye rolling. That's why the emoji exists, by the way. High demand. Because we use it. And that's why you have people in groups and go, "So, oh, my husband and my wife, oh my gosh, dude, will she ever just stop? Oh, I mean, again, it happened again. Yeah, I got the credit card bill. Oh, yeah. I over budget again. Ha, ha, ha. That's wonderful. That's great." Okay. And you begin to live a certain kind of way. And now you've created an environment that what happens is that the gap between expectations and behavior is always filled with believing the worst for each other. And now our family unit believes the worst. We have an environment that believes the worst. Anytime there is a space between expectations and behavior, what do our kids do? They learn it from us. What do? They believe the worst. They just believe the worst. That's it. That's interesting, isn't it? Marcus Buckingham, a guy who is well known in the leadership community, he wrote several books. He came out with Now Find Your Strengths or Now Live Your Strengths. It's a book that developed Strength Finders. It's a leadership/personality test. And I've taken this. Our staff has taken this. And it's a great book. But he also wrote another one called The One Thing You Need to Know. And in that book, it's a leadership book, it's a business book, but he talks about interpersonal relationships, the one thing you need to know. And in that, he cites a study that the researchers, they took people who had lasting relationships and married people, and got people who had lasting, fulfilling, healthy relationships and others who did not. And they wanted to do a study on terms of how do you interplay, what's the dynamic, social dynamic that takes place. What they realized is that the people who had unhealthy relationships and the relationships that eventually died had unrealistic expectations. I'm like, you don't have to be a genius for that, buddy. That makes total sense. Unrealistic expectations. So what they thought initially was that the healthy ones would just have the what? Opposite of that would be what? Realistic expectations. Right? If you walk into a relationship with realistic expectations, it's successful. So that's what they assumed they were going to find in lasting, healthy relationships. What they found shocked them. They did find that the healthy relationships also had unrealistic, not expectations, but they had an unrealistic view of their spouse, of their person, of their partner. They had an unrealistic view. They gave them tests to score their partner's strengths. They were biased, and they basically said they thought that their partners possessed more strengths than they actually did. They were biased towards them. They were stuck in this. They were like, they gave their partner more credit than deserved. They came up, after that study, they came up with this term called positive illusion. A positive illusion. And they thought, you know what? This actually, they weren't going for this, but they discovered, you know what? There is something about this whole idea of love being blind. You have a positive illusion. And here's what's interesting. For those of us who have been in relationships, you're like, yes, exactly. That's just delusional. It's delusional. But you started like that. You started dating like that. At first, you're like, "Oh, no, he's awesome." Really? We don't think so, but you think, "Oh, you don't know him like I know him." Really? You had a what? You had a positive what? Illusion. You gave him more credit. You gave her so much more credit. What they realized is this. They found that people who give the most generous explanation of people's behavior last longer in relationships. So you get the email, you get the text, you get the, oh my gosh, he's not here. And then what happens? There's a space. And then he said he would be on time. He doesn't do it. The bill will be paid. Doesn't happen. You said you were going to do this. It doesn't happen. You said you're going to have a better attitude. You're something's going on. What happened? When you believe the best, you figure out the most generous explanation of why they did not. That's connected to this idea, this biblical idea of love, always protecting, always trusting, always hoping, and always persevering. You know what? I don't know what he's going through today. Something would have happened. I'm sure he did not mean it. You know what? She struggles with that. Everybody's different. I understand. I get that. I'm not perfect. You know what? He's probably, you know, this might be a crazy season right now. I know he's got a lot of demands going on in his life. You know what? I know that she struggles with this. You know what? I don't even understand it, but I acknowledge it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's all right. See, when you start doing that, here's what you do. You create a story, but it's the best story. You create a story that leads to what? Right? It leads to an attitude that leads to a belief, and then you act accordingly. And then you create an environment that everybody in your family and everybody around you, and especially you guys, what? When there's a gap between expectation and behavior, what you do? You believe the best. And I get it. Some of you guys are like, that's beautiful. That's wonderful for you, buddy. That is not the world I live in. That is not. Because the amount, like, let's just talk about a gap. It's like a big old gap. It's a big, big gap. And people, and this is not even a gap. It's like a war zone here. People have died on this thing. There's all kinds of disappointment. There's all kinds of betrayal. There's all kinds of ugliness. There is all kinds of things. And you want me to believe the best? You can take this sign and you can believe the best with that one. There's no way you're going to make me think this is good. This is the answer. It's the one key to relationship. You are delusional. I get it. I understand. I totally understand. But when you believe the worst, let's just go with this. Here's what happens. You give your worst. You become the worst expression of who you are. That's what happens with that. Why? Because you're mad, right? You're angry. You're holding on. And then what happens? You get bitter. Then you just get, you're just frustrated. And what happens? What happens when one relationship in your life is just sucking the life out of you and stressing you out? Does it bleed over to your others? Of course it does. So I know that she does, and I know that he does, and it's just a big old problem, but you owe it to yourself to not do this, because it'll be the worst expression of who you are and affects all the other things. But if you believe the best, you guess what? You bring your best. You do. You're at your best. You do your best. But when you're at your worst, you don't even try because you're done trying. I don't care what she's into. I don't even want to know. I'm not going to even pretend. We're not going to watch this movie because it's dumb. I'm not going. Go with your girlfriends. Do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. And there's this tension. It's I don't want to come home. I don't want to get a call from him. I don't want to do this. It's like we're in this house, but no one is really talking. We're talking about stuff that we need to knock out, but no one's really connecting. Because guess what we're doing? We are believing the worst. You're always going. And there is such a serious cloud of distrust and negativity that surrounds you. I get that maybe he or she needs some serious therapy. I get that. I'm not talking about being codependent. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the reality that you, in that relationship, in the midst that you're in, what do you get to choose? You get to fill in the blank, and what are you going to do? And you owe it to yourself to bring the best, regardless of what the other person does. Because you cannot become and get infected by that. You have to believe the best and not the worst. Because if you believe the worst, you create an environment of distrust. Now, we as a society have grown up with this idea that trust needs to be what? Help me out. Say it out loud. Earned. Can you say it one more time so everybody else and also on the live stream can hear it? Earned. We believe this, right? But that's fundamentally opposing God's view. You're like, what? See, God does not sit there and go, earn it. Earn it. Religion says that. Jesus doesn't. It's counterintuitive. You see, in the God's kingdom, and how He views you and how He relates to you, you know what He says? He says, trust is given, distrust is earned. I'm going to give you my trust. I'm going to give you my spirit. You can do whatever you want to do with it. I'm going to give you my love. You can either spit on my face, whatever. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to give you. You get to tell me that you should not trust me. But I'm not going to do it. I mean, it's actually a principle that now is going through all kinds of leadership and institutions as well. And our staff, last year we talked about it. And I said, hey guys, if you get hired here, let me just tell you, I trust you. But you get to earn distrust. I trust you with people's information. I trust you with all kinds of things. I trust you with my vulnerability. I trust you with all kinds of personal stuff. I trust you. You get to choose by betraying me, right? By not doing what you said you were going to. You get to earn it. You get to earn distrust. See, when you create an atmosphere where you just give trust, you start with this. I believe the best. I believe that you will do the best. I just believe it. I have no evidence for that, but I just believe it. I'm just going to believe it. Because here's the thing. Deep down, every soul wants to be trusted. Deep down, everybody wants someone to go, I believe in you. Your spouse doesn't want to disappoint you. They hate it. They've got some issues, but they dread it when they do. They dread it. They might not say it. You know why? Because the atmosphere is what? It's all about believing the worst. And here's what happens. When you create an atmosphere of distrust, there's always competition. It's this idea, and you've experienced this. Oh, I'm going to win this one. I'm going to win this one. Oh, I'm going to file this away. And man, I got a good one. Just come home, buddy. I got something for you. Woo-hoo! You just done it. This is going to be great. And what's happening is you don't even know it, but you're competing. Oh, I won this one. Oh, and then you say stuff like, oh, I can never win with you. Whoa, when did we start playing this game? You know why? Because when you create an atmosphere of believing the worst, it's based on performance. And when it's based on performance, it is a game. Someone's got to win and someone's got to what? Lose. It has to happen. But when you believe the best, competition goes out the window. There is no winning, losing. There is no, hey, you, I'm going to get you. You owe me. No. You don't owe me. You don't owe me. And I know you guys are going, ah, man, this is crazy talk, man. This is so hard. I didn't say it was going to be easy. You know the lasting relationships are not easy. by any stretch of the imaginations. Believing the best is hard. In fact, brain researchers have found that we are hardwired to actually focus on the negative. Like, so the one guy, he's talked about this idea that our brains, when it comes to positive things, it's like Teflon. You know how Teflon things are? Like, nothing sticks to them, right? So our brains work like that. With positive stuff, it's like Teflon, but when it comes to negative stuff, it's like Velcro. It sticks. Like, you know this, right? I mean, we intuitively know this. Like, a day could be amazing. There could be so many great things that happen, and you get one negative text. And what do you think about? That one negative text. It happens to me. People can go, oh my gosh, that was amazing, amazing, amazing. One person in the lobby could say something negative about my talk, and I'm like, I suck. Then Ashley has to hear it all Sunday. And she's like, get over it. I can't, man. I'm gonna quit this. It's like, you don't even know that person. I know, but I'm an idiot. What did it do? It just stuck to me. And I have to pull it out all day. I'm like, pulling it out. Get away from me. Because we're hardwired to do this. It seems like it. But God's saying, I want you to do this. Lasting relationships, do this. God does this. And he's inviting us to do the same. Now, let me just say this. Real talk here. If you're one of these people that you know you've said these things and you don't do them, and deep down you don't care. Like, if you are bringing your worst game, in a sense, you're bringing your worst, you can't complain. Like, at some point, if you don't change, it's over. It's just over. Because the scriptures talk about three kinds of people. When you read Proverbs, it talks about the wise, the foolish, and the evil. Wise people, you talk to them, and talking, explaining and therapy and all that works. You communicate and they change. Foolish people, you talk, and you pay therapy, and guess what? What changes? Nothing. And then there are evil people. You don't know. You did not know, and they're evil. You married her, and you married him, and it's not just like annoying. No, this person's evil. And if you think there are not evil people in this world, you're naive. They're evil people. I don't know what got in there. And it just has to happen. And so I do want to be really real here with relationships. When you have people who are acting foolish, then they know this addiction is going to ruin their relationship. And it's hard. At some point, it ends. It just ends. They walk away from the relationship. Or you walk away because it's evil. This person is just evil and abusive. So I'm not saying, oh, just do this and it's going to be great. But I am saying this. Regardless of your partner, the person you're with, you know, you owe it to yourself to be this kind of person that believes the best. Again, because God does the same with you. Let me read you this passage and I'll end. Here's what Scriptures tells us, and I love this. Psalms 130 says, If you, God, kept records of wrongdoings, who would stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit. And that's why you're worshipped. The psalmist here is going, you know what, God, if you always believe the worst, this is humorous, but just talk about your prayer life. If God always rolled eyes, if he could do that, every prayer of yours would be this. He's like, God, I will, really? You know how many times we've talked about this? You've been doing this for 15 years. You know, you make a deal. God, if you just do this, I will never really. I can kind of see the future. And you're not doing it. It's not happening. But why is it that we have a God that says, I actually know the future? And for some crazy reason, I will still believe the best. You know why? Because God is love, right? It's the essence of love. And love always does what? It's extreme, man. It's extreme. It, you read this, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always what? Perseveres. And he actually ends with, love never fails. Hey, let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for our lives. I thank you for our relationships. God, I do pray that this morning we would be a people. We would be a people that understand, God, that you are calling us to live a different kind of life and to reflect that in our relationships and in our marriages. God, I know there are people who are deeply hurt by letdowns and deeply hurt by a sense of insecurity. God, I know that there are some of us who have, because of our actions, we have conveyed, I don't love you, I don't like you, I don't care enough to change. But God, I know deep down, people want to be their best. People want to be accepted, and people want to please, and people want to give other people joy. So God, I pray in Jesus' name for relationships that we would have the courage to have the conversation of what are we going to do as a couple, what are we going to choose to start doing now? Or as a person, because the other person is not even here because they said they'll come with, and they're not even here. God, what would it look like for us to believe the best? I pray you'd help and you'd lead. And God, I thank you once again for people who are here and this is their first time kind of connecting with who you are. I pray that they would know, God, that you don't keep records of wrongs. You're not loving us based on performance. You're not waiting around till we can earn your love or trust. You trust and love us. You gave us your Son. You gave us your Spirit. You gave us so much. So in Jesus' name I pray, God, would you use us, lead us? Would you do it? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.